owner to Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Rename Keith. And then Beth, I will change you from iPhone to Beth. And then I have to remember to put us in our speaker view as people are coming in. There we go. And user, I forgot your name. I'm sorry, but I'll change your name in your box.
I somehow, oh, there we are. Renee.
Renee, okay.
Yes, R-E-N-E-E.
R-E-N-E-E, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hang on.
Okay. And Trish came in as Trish. Oh, and there you are. There we go. Yep. We were just renaming all the folks to.
Okay.
Our designated unreality.
Indeed. Your illusory label.
That I think I know, but I don't.
Just a second.
But then I take pride in not knowing.
Well, the label is just for the body, the inert lump of goo. So, like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, it's spit. Like you came from spit. How can you take pride in spit?
Good point.
Question.
Yes.
I just have to put it clear in English. Everything that has a beginning and end, called that projection from the self.
Everything that has a beginning and an end is an illusory projection from the, yes.
Okay. And what is reflection?
Reflection in the projection is a recognition, like there's, especially in an empty mind, the presence with presence, it'll reflect. Towards the beginning, you may look in another person, like another body, and you'll feel a pull, this like presence to presence. The more, yeah. And that's like when you go to Maharaj, because Maharaj, he's cleared all concepts of being an individual. So when you look at him, it's a clear reflection. It's that's why he says, I show you the mirror. And they use the example of the lion, who the little baby lion was brought up with goats and sheep and was drinking the milk and bleeding and doing all this stuff and running about. And this big lion comes out for a feast and then sees this and he's like, what in the heck is going on here? There's a lion running with the sheep thinking he's a sheep. So he takes him to the water and he says, see, you have a mane like I have a mane. You have teeth like I have teeth. And he shows his reflection. And this is how Maharaj has given the example of a clean mirror. And Nisargadatta Maharaj says, actually, polish the mirror. Because the polishing of the mirror is removing the illusory thoughts so that they are not covering that you are. And then the mirror, the clear mirror, it will reflect very strongly. You will feel this very, very strong sense of presence. This is also how you read the reader. When you're reading the reader and you're not thinking about, because like if you're reading a book, any book, and you're thinking about what's for dinner, you're not focused in this. Yeah. So as you're reading the reader, that's that recognition in the projection, that very strong pull of presence with presence. Because the entire world is your projection, and there's a recognition of this. Oh, so that I am that. That everything is coming from you. You're the central point of this whole world, and not from the limited identification or the local identification and saying this is the central point. No, the central point is really pointless.
There's no center.
Exactly. And everything is arising from you. So you say, oh, this entire world is projected on my spontaneous presence.
Okay.
So the reflection of the lion isn't the lion itself.
Well, no, the reflection of the lion is just to show you. Like the lion was showing the little baby lion, you're a lion like me. You're not a sheep. And he took him so that he could see himself clearly. And that's why Maharaj, he knows himself in a real sense. And so therefore, when you meet Maharaj, he has no idea that I am Maharaj and you are a disciple. So when you're seeing and you're feeling the presence, it's direct. There's a recognition. I spoke about too when I was at the ashram, bowing to the masters, and there was this powerful pull. It was almost like you see the science fiction movies of getting sucked into a picture. It was almost that strong. And I told Maharaj, because I was, again, a check-in with anything that may be happening. And he's like, this is recognition in the projection. The master is reflecting. This is the natural state when this recognition in the projection, because you're cleaning yourself so that there's no longer all this ash. The fire is burning bright like the kakadarate that can be passed pure. And it is just a brightness. That's why a lot of times spiritual teachers will talk about light and saying that, you know, it's like light. Light is presence, because presence gives the ability for objects to be seen and to have the space where objects can move around, similarly to how light kind of gives you, in a dark room, you can see things that are there and moving about, and the light is kind of a non-descriptive thing. It illumines, but it's self-illuminating, because the presence just is. And it provides sort of the background for all of this world to appear. And then, of course, presence has appeared to you, that true you that you are. And all that can be known and all the knowing that goes on is within the projection or on your spontaneous presence. Presence is felt. I exist, time starts. Presence is no longer felt. There's no feeling of existence. Time is no more. But time is within the illusion only, because you are the constant. Just like when you sleep, you fall asleep at night, you go through deep sleep, you go through dream, you come out the other side and wake up in the morning. These are all states. And in truth, the waking state is the same for you. This is a state. We call it the long dream because of the body being available. You're having this dream of separation and a separate existence, a world, and stuff to do, things to see.
I want to make a check-in with another thing.
Yes.
I almost finished the selfless self book. I spent the whole weekend on that, and there was a lot of wow. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. And in the same time, fears coming, confusions coming, a lot of stuff. I just watch all these things coming up in the same time.
Sit with it.
Yeah.
This is how Maharaj says about when Nisargadatta Maharaj talked about the tenants. They have a hotel or an apartment building, And they say, finally, I want to take possession again of this apartment. And the tenants, as they're leaving, they abuse you. But you just remain with your selfless self, especially after you've read the book again, sit in the quiet meditation and remain with mantra and just see what comes up and allow it to bubble up and go. I talked about at the ashram, I had a lot of this bubbling up where it was like a, like if you were to take a champagne bottle and shake it and you could feel the pressure building, 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 and it's okay. Even if it releases, you know, like what I said about, I said, oh, there's geckos in the room and this and that and all this stuff. Yeah. This is okay too. It just passes though. You don't do any, you don't try to stop it. You don't try to figure it out. No. Ask why it's there. No. You remain with your selfless self and it just passes because it's all illusion. It only has power when you say, oh, this thing is happening and I don't like it. Or why is this happening?
No.
You know, you say, oh, I've been meditating for so long. How can this be happening now? You know, or any of these things, because you give power. It's like a thought comes by and it has no power. And then you kind of give attention to it and present it in a personalization of this is my thought. And then it attacks you. You're giving a little chihuahua, you're creating a big Doberman pincher.
Yeah.
And then running from the Doberman pincher, who's actually a chihuahua. And Nisargadatta gives a very good example of this too, when the guy stays at the ashram and it's very noisy outside. And the one who wrote I Am That, who now I can't remember, Maurice Friedman, he also was staying in the ashram. And the guy came to him the next morning and he said, my God, I couldn't sleep because it was so busy and all the noise in the city and this and that. And Maurice was like, oh, I didn't notice. And because it's like you're paying attention to that, it's the barking dog. Dogs will bark, but if I pay attention to the barking dog and I become irritated by the barking dog, then whether the dog is barking or not, it continues to bark through the concept of a barking dog that I don't like. So not to give any attention, things bubble up and they just go, okay.
Isn't there a limit to that though? Like if you're in great pain, you can't fall asleep.
Physical pain is different. I mean, it's like a sensory input. You know what I mean? You have nerves in this body and it provides an input. But you know, this is not me. This is happening to the body. But yeah, you're going to feel pain. I mean, if you put your hand on a hot stove, no matter how selfless, that's again, like the egoistic spirituality. I put my hand on a hot stove and I say, oh, I'm fine because I'm selfless self. And then you go and you have like 400 degree burns or whatever all over your hand for nothing. So practical spirituality, yes, pain is pain. And that's why if you break your arm, you go to a doctor, he sets your arm. If he gives you pain medicine, you take pain medicine. Whatever is needed is done to keep the body healthy. Because without the body, you won't have this experience of anything right now. So you want to keep it healthy while it's here. But it's the body is a golden opportunity to know yourself. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But it's still kind of illusion because it comes and goes, the pain.
Well, I mean, nothing can be constant in the illusion. Everything within the illusion, as it was mentioned in the very beginning, has a beginning and an end. That's how you know it's illusion. Anything that has a beginning and an end can't be the truth. Because if it ended, that would mean like the end of everything. Like,
yeah.
There's yeah. So the, anything that has a beginning and an ending is within the illusion. The body, the lifespan, trees, you know, trees might be 500 years old, but they're still going to have an end. Everything in the illusion begins and ends and deteriorates. It gradually, we may not see it. on a daily basis, but it is gradually deteriorating from the moment that it is taking form. It is deteriorating because that's the nature of the five elements.
And all that takes place within you.
Within the illusion, yeah.
Or within,
like your dream.
But as far as it's, those are limitations of coming and going, but that which is unlimited, the real.
Is providing the background present. And the knowingness that there are things that come and go. If there wasn't a constant, just like in dream, if there wasn't a constant when you go to sleep at night, you're never waking up. How do you wake up on the other side? That no, does not sleep wakes you up. These are all states. And then there's a, oh, now I'm waking up. Because of the concept of identification with the body, there's a sleeping, a dreaming, a deep sleep, and a waking up. And in deep sleep, you don't know yourself. So if there really was an end, that would be it. Like, you don't know yourself. There's nothing to know. There's absolutely nothing in deep sleep. So how in the world do you come to on the other side of this? You see, otherwise you would fall asleep and just go into oblivion.
Yeah.
That would be it. Because in deep sleep, you don't know yourself, correct? You have no knowledge of your own self in deep sleep. And yet that background continues because the waking, the dreaming, and the waking up on the other side is all just states appearing on your own selfless self. That's why it can't end, because if it ended, then you'd go to bed tonight and that'd be it. You're finished. There's nothing.
But the idea of knowing something, knowing beginnings and ends,
is within the illusion.
Perpetuates that idea.
It's like the space in this room when it clicks with the body. There's the understanding that there's light. I turn on a light and a light lights up. There's an understanding that when I drink the tea, it finishes. You know, there's an understanding that when I eat food, it finishes off my plate. But the space in the room had to click with the body in order to experience these happenings. Otherwise, the space in the room doesn't know if there's food or no food or light, or it has no knowledge of its own self. And this is just an example. Of course, space is not a, because you're more subtle than space. You click with this body and you say, oh, I exist. And then this existence, along with it, comes this entire world of stuff that you spend basically your whole childhood learning about and how to interact with the world. And then eventually, within the bubble of illusion, you come to a guru. Or you come to spirituality, and if that person is true, tells you, you are not body. And none of this is true. Find out what is true. Because, okay, the concept of birth happened within the illusion, but you are not born. The concept of death happens in the illusion because of the concept of birth, and neither apply to you.
So stuff seems to perpetuate or stuff seems to end, but none of that could happen or even seem to be or not unless the background is there.
Yeah, I mean, unless you are, there would be no sense you are. You understand when Nisargadatta Maharaj says, just remain with the you are, this I am, this just I feeling. Well, who is remaining with that? You. This has appeared to you. When just I, or this sense of existence, or that sense of you are, without it, you are. And now you know you are. But if you were not, there could not be a you are. There'd be nothing there on which this you are would appear or to know.
Just like the lion and the reflection. The lions.
Well, the lion reflection is, oh, so that I am that. I'm not this body. And if I'm not this body, then I'm certainly not in this world. Right away, it's like, okay, so I'm formless. And now if I remain with that formless sense of presence, it's going to be obvious that I have nothing to do at all with this world. That this world is like a superimposition on my own self or from my own self, but I am actually not involved in it at all. Just like the space doesn't get fire. If fire happens in the space is not affected. It's not harmed. We spoke about before, although very scary, and nowadays news and all this, if the world just exploded, it would not affect you at all. The concept of birth and death happened within the bubble of illusion, and the illusion appeared to you. Just like when you lay down and sleep, and this illusory dream world happens, and the concept of birth and death, and activities, and doership, and all these sort of things happen within your dream. But when you wake up, you know, none of this could be true. No matter how nice the dream was, it couldn't be true. No matter what you appeared to be doing in the dream, it could not have been true. When you know yourself in a real sense, you absolutely know that nothing in this illusory bubble of existence could possibly be true. No matter how nice it might seem. Or how scary or sad it might seem. It's just not true. So you remain with your selfless self and you observe the scenes coming and going before you, scenes appearing and disappearing, scenes appearing and disappearing, scenes appearing and disappearing, and you just remain.
So giving it power is the same as giving it being. Could say, sort of say power and being are the same illusion.
Well, if you begin to try and make the world true, you need a you in it. That's the main building block to the world. There has to be a concept that I am somebody else. Otherwise, your world can't appear. Because it appears to... In other words, if you're not there, then how could anything appear? So if there's an I am somebody else, then you can be an active participant in the world, all within the bubble of illusion. When you know yourself in a real sense, there is no local identification. There's a body form, but you are this, and the body is just an object within your own self. So you're no longer saying, okay, where is Keith? Now, of course, again, egoistic spirituality, somebody says, Keith, where are you? Oh, I'm everywhere. No, you don't need to do that. But in reality, you know this. I'm formless. I don't locate myself with a local identification and say, this is me. This body is available, but it's a five elemental body and it goes back to the five elements. And just like anything in the illusion and the five elements, it deteriorates slowly over time because the concept of time appeared within the bubble of illusion with the first knowing I exist until the I exist is no more. And we call that a lifespan. That's how it's also mentioned with the ocean and the waves. The wave is rolling in, hits the beach, and then rolls back out, no longer a wave. But did the wave die? Was the wave ever a separate thing? You could say that the wave had a lifespan from way out in wherever he was in the ocean, and forming and coming and then crashing against some beach, and that's finished. But did the wave gain anything or lose anything? Did the ocean gain or lose anything? Was there ever any separation between the wave and the ocean? That's why they talk about, and Maharaj says about the snake and the rope. You see this snake in a room. Oh, very scary. Snake, I don't want to go in. Once you know it's a rope, you will no longer ever think it's a snake. It can't. The illusion is crushed. You've seen through it. When you know yourself in a real sense, you're no longer thinking that this illusory existence is true. It's an appearance. There's nothing to be scared of. And see, it's not just that you know that the snake and the rope, you know absolutely when you see the rope for what it is, that there never was a snake. That the appearance of the snake was an illusion. So this whole concept of, oh, what happens when I die, or this world, or what's in the next world, and all this, there never was a world. It was an appearance. What happened to the snake when you knew that the rope is not a snake? He's not dying. Nor did the snake transform or become enlightened into a rope. You are not what you take yourself to be. Find out who you are. Remain with yourself, the self. You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Body is not your identity. Just I, just I. The sense you are. Sense I am. Sense of existence. Spirit. Power, energy, whatever you want to call it. This very, very subtle. And all of this illusion is appearing within that.
John, you said that Ramakant didn't have any concepts left.
Correct.
And do you think that Ramakant, that happened in a rapid way, or was it a evolution kind of thing? And with you, is it a, did it all disappear, the concepts, or has it been a gradual?
I think Maharaj uses the very good example of, you go into a cave where it's been dark for 5,000 years and you light a torch. The darkness doesn't say, oh, I've been here 5,000 years, I'm not going so easily. Yeah. The torch immediately lightens.
Mm-hmm.
However, the progressive steps, while you are believing in being a body form, performing progressive steps towards your own self, as Nisargadatta Maharaj says, every step you take is not wasted. But once you know yourself in a real sense, you know, that's, you know, you may, as it's called, you know, the coming and going, you may slip into the illusion, as Maharaj calls it, and I love this, falling into the illusory ditch. You may every so often fall into the illusory ditch, but then you just brush yourself off by reminding yourself through mantra, through meditation, through remaining with your selfless self. Just I, oh, so that I am that.
Sometimes that's easy, but sometimes it's a little harder if you fall into the ditch.
Well, the more you remain with your selfless self, the more you'll know when you're in the illusory ditch.
Well, I think, yes, I know that when I'm in a ditch, but sometimes it's easier than other times to know who I really am. Sometimes.
Well, that's why you need to keep in constant, like, that's why the bhajans are there, so that you can keep in touch with yourself. You do spiritual reading in the morning, you know, read a little bit of book. Like Siddhameshwar Maharaj says, maybe read a little bit of Das Bodh before going to sleep. Different things to keep in touch with your selfless self. And that's why Ramakant Maharaj, he says, this is not a part-time thing. This is a full-time thing. And if you ask, you know, about my own journey, it was definitely full-time. I mean, it was 100% full-time. Even when Charles, at first, when I was saying I was going to the ashram, and he said, well, bring a tent because you might have to stay outdoors. I said, okay, I bought a tent and I was willing to do it. Now, luckily, I got to stay at the ashram and it didn't have a tent, but there was no hesitation of, oh my gosh, out in the wilderness or, you know, out on the patio in the outside. And I'm very glad because India, they have a lot of different bugs and things that it would have been very terrible staying in the tent, but still willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was nothing dissuading. And when Maharaj says, remain with mantra, remained with mantra. I wandered all over India, just remaining with mantra. Had the beard shaved, the hair cut, all this sort of stuff, just remaining with mantra and allowing whatever was going to be, just surrendering to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And even as soon as food poisoning had given me enough strength, I was back doing bhajans. That's where those recordings on the website are of me with the symbols. It was right after having the horrible food poisoning. I'm back in there and I'm singing and dancing to these bhajans because it's just, it's total devotion to your own selfless self. And while Maharaj was in the body, you could worship your selfless self at the feet of Maharaj.
Mm-hmm. And you felt that magnetic pull.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the presence that brought me to India, I knew, was standing before me in the form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj. And the sense of presence was very strong while in his presence. And then he said, you went up, you know, Maharaj could have been one of those gurus who's like, oh yes, bow to my feet and you feel this presence. Come back next year, drop $1,000 in the donation box. We have another viewing of me next year, travel to India and see me. But he wasn't. He was, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. There's no difference between you and I. See yourself as formless, see your master as formless, and there's no separation. And when he placed his hand on my head and whispered the mantra, that was like an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. But when you fall in the illusory ditch, just pull yourself up, mantra. All this that seems to be happening is not happening.
I have a question.
Yes, yes.
So is Ramakant Maharaj, is he the last of the Maharajas? Is there going to be another one? Is there, I mean, in India, to give out the mantra to go see, how is that working?
I'm not
that familiar with that part.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't believe there's anyone in Nashik Ashram at this moment, but I really don't know.
I just didn't know if he had, because he knew he was sick. if he had appointed somebody in the lineage to, you know, and he passed away before I could get out there. So, you know, I'm very sad about not being able to meet him.
But he did see something in John, and he told John to guide them, right?
Yes. Okay. Isn't that true? Johnny.
Oh, that's awesome.
Put a mantle on you in a way, John.
Okay. So you'll guide us. That's awesome. Yeah.
Again, there is no individuality. So your own selfless self, the presence within you, will guide you. Matter of fact, somebody asked on Cura about who is the greatest guru or some kind of something like this. And it's the presence within your own selfless self. It may manifest as an outside something, or it may not. But spend some time with you and this inner guru, which is really all there is, because this entire world is within your own self. So even the guru that you believe is there to give you mantra is within your own self. So remaining with your selfless self, this just I, this very subtle sense of presence, and worshiping this. And if you're unable to worship the formless presence in this way, that's when Maharaj says, have a picture, you know, like go on the website, ramakantmaharaj.usa or ramakantmaharajusa.org or .us, ramakantmaharaj.us, sorry. And download a picture and put it in your room and bow to the master. And whether he's in body form or not doesn't matter, because that sense of presence can be directed at Maharaj. And then you can have this ability to focus and have that recognition in the projection. And that'll awaken your inner master. This is the story of Eklava. I don't know if you're familiar, but Eklava, he was a young archer, and he was trying to do archery. He wanted to be instructed by this master, but the master couldn't instruct Eklava because he wasn't of royal lineage. So Eklava went and built a statue in the forest and then did archery. And he said, oh, is this correct, master? Is this the way I'm doing? And there was a response, yes, my son, yes, this is good, this is how it's done. And then Eklava entered an archery competition and actually won. And this guy, Dronacharya, I think is his name, Dronachar. Anyway, he was shocked. He came to Eklava and said, who taught you? And Eklava said, well, you did. Because he had created this statue and given everything, his own selfless self, was the master. He had created this statue and given all his devotion to the inner master in the form of this statue, excuse me, and received guidance and became the best archer in all the land.
That's also why Ramakant would say, touch yourself on the head.
Yes, bless your own self, exactly. Well, in that beautiful story, when I went to Maharaj, I said, Maharaj, you're my statue. Like, I very much know this, that this form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj is my...